You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh, there we go. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher D. Simone, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire.
And who do we have here?
He can't stay away. You know, in the old days, he'd come by for an anniversary. We don't see him for 8 months again until Christmas or something. But he's back. Joe Higgins.
Good morning, buddy. It's just like fish and relatives at the house. No more than 3 days. And then they got to go.
That's true.
I'm that guy. I'm what, 3 days, Twain 4 days line. Back? Yeah. Right.
So,
good morning.
Good morning, Joseph Higgins.
How are you?
What a beautiful, pleasant surprise.
You guys should do a show together.
Don't push that crap.
I still wake up at 4 a.m. after my years on this show. I can't sleep in anymore. It's terrible. Either age or you have ruined me. I get up. I'm up, man. I'm up.
A little bit of column B.
He's got his radio set to a jazz station to wake him up. He puts it on the other side of the room.
Right.
And his wife's
about Wednesday morning, by the way, Joe.
Oh, did you jazz all day?
Thank jazzy you. Music. The satellite feed got switched up on us. And
that's true. We started the show off. Somehow there was Steely Dan jazz playing instead of this ridiculous show. And we're like, oh my God, it's like a Higgins nightmare. It would have been better if it was a remote and then the jazz played. Then Higgins would have been in the fetal position.
Well, what's happened in the last week? Did you solve anything since I was on here last time? Anything fixed in the world, in Tucson, and anything at all? Have you gotten anything done since I've left you?
Well, I know I haven't gotten anything done. I know we painted A Mountain the Hamas colors.
We got that, Joe.
That'll do it. That'll tell them.
I like Rockin' Robins finally getting rid of the protesters. Well, at least for that moment. And I remember Arizona Public Media. It said university police storm, peaceful protesters or something.
Turn up the propaganda machine. Hey, so is it hit ASU or at U of A? Tell me what. I've been watching the national news.
Well, ASU was great because the frat boys pulled down the Hamas guys' stuff.
Like North Carolina, they put the flag up, right?
Yeah, the frat boys pulled down their little things, whatever they were doing.
Mm. We talked about this before the show in the green room. Is this the George Floyd summer game? We're coming into election. Right around the time this happens with Hamas, George Floyd happened in 2020.
Right.
And we saw the burning of the cities that happened from that time.
Well, the question is,
this is it.
So how did, let me put on my real good pessimism hat. How well does this poll?
It's got to be just deadly for the Democrats.
That's what I'm saying.
It's got to be terrible.
So Black Lives Matters temporarily was polling well for the Democrats.
Yes.
That's the difference.
But why?
Right? And you had all these businesses paying off millions of dollars to the Black Lives Matter thing. So it was like the payoff money.
Right.
They made it look like they were supporting it, but it was like, please don't ransack Target.
But why? It's like the Passover, right? The blood over the door. We're part of the team here. What about
please tape your $100 bills outside the on the door frame.
Well, then how do you explain the Soros money and the green tents that show up at every campus in the country? Someone's behind it. Someone's like an Orange Revolution pushing this, right? Same thing with George Floyd. The death happens.
They're trying to make something out of this thing that I think most of America is not sympathetic to. But they're going to give it a shot, Joe. They got nothing else better than, other than abortion, what else they got to talk about?
But if I got the creep guy that's ready to fall into the grave running for a re-election,
right. Why
would I want to take this issue and make it the big issue? I thought the issue was supposed to be Christian nationalism. Isn't that what they floated out there as the big problem,
that's
the boogeyman of the world?
Not anymore.
Why this one? It's so obvious. It's like, okay, let's go to central casting. Let's pull this knob. All right, let's try this knob.
I mean, if there's a least sympathetic crew, it's rich white kids studying arts and culture through a Marxian lens, right? Wearing their little Hamas headscarf, going, it's so unfair that Colombia won't deliver food to us revolutionaries.
We have a food card. Love that one. Got a food card.
There are awesome students that are paying for their food plan, and they're not getting their food delivered.
Love it. Love it.
You know,
but like, but I'm on this game, and you and I have done this so long, and I spent so much time in it. Why? Why is the open border? Why are there three major wars going on right now? Why? Who's behind it? What's the goal? What's the end? It's not, you know, why do we say defund the police and don't have cops?
What? Yeah, he almost has a Bill Shatner with that why.
Why?
There.
Why? You know what I mean? Why? What's the why behind all this? Because it doesn't make any sense. And it's not like to get votes and to get polls. And is it to get us fighting? Is it to take down the country? Why would you open the border and look at the polling and look at what it's doing to your country and go, oh, that's a good thing. Let's bring more of that on. Why?
The border thing we've talked about over and over again, right? That one, I it's the opposite of whatever Trump would do,
right?
So we gotta. They think they're punishing Trump by punishing all of America with all of this, right? And then, but at the same time, do they want a bigger percentage of America that will be that's destabilized, right? And then wants to run to mother government for more free money. Okay. And support.
And then you got the demographic issue.
Right.
And then you got the voter.
Correct. So I see that. Census. This one is, so Soros looks like he's funding these things, right? Is it really the idea that, because again, to me, it's, you know, you're taking Hamas's side because Donald Trump is supporting Israel. That's what it hits me as for Democrats. There's no reason for you to, I mean, queers for Palestine. What are we doing here? What? I mean, like, I just put that picture up yesterday
over there
where it said chickens for KFC.
right.
I mean, this is what we're talking about. All right. Get the hell out of here. All right. And so, this one is, to me, this is just fomenting chaos is what this is about. And you got to do it now.
Which goes back to the why, Chris. Why are they fomenting chaos in America?
But here's the thing. School's over in a week.
Right.
Right. So once school's over, there's no one on these campuses. They got to go back. The chick who needed the meal plan for the revolutionaries, or as someone said, the revolution will be catered, right? Okay. She's got to get back to Hyannisport. Come on, man. She's got to go up to Martha's Vineyard for the summer. Trust me, she's not going to be protesting anything in a green tent in Martha's Vineyard. She's going to be doing the real imported good caviar crap, right? We're talking Rockin' Robin's level of caviar. It's over in a week. I'm telling you, once graduations happen, have a nice life. There's no one on campus for the next 3 months.
Right.
And look at the media. I got the media on this. They usually suck. Right. They're just eating this stuff like candy. Right. A bunch of rich whiny babies waiting for me and you to forgive their student loans
for the election season. Then it goes away.
So,
but I go back to why, Chris? Why would you burn down the cities?
Do you have any answers anymore?
I'm just throwing numbers. I have a theory why. I have a very
I don't want you to say the theory because I love your wife and I don't need Homeland Security visiting your house. All right.
But why is this?
You already had enough NSA attention on your head.
What genius
anyway
in 2020 says defund the police? And then
Regina
now
Romero.
And now you're looking at the ramifications of defund the police. That's not good for either side of the aisle.
So what I want to do when we come back, I want to talk about my field trip I took yesterday with the town of Marana. We hung out with the town of Gilbert and the town of Queen Creek yesterday. We're going to talk about that. And then, Joe, who are these two young scrapping lads in the green room?
We're going to talk about the state of the police force and first responders and kind of the ramifications of that lifestyle that we're living, that they're living, and what they deal with and what it looks like in their life. Things like PTSD and just mental health. And when we talk about the ramifications of crime and defunding police and everybody's got a video camera, what's that look like in their life?
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do that.
Ari and Ron
are here. Then at top of the hour, Adriana, our old happy, old, she's very youthful, erstwhile event planner. She's Food Friday today. So she's going to have to talk about something that's going on in her work that sells some food. And I said, why don't you just come on and bring and cook something for everybody? So we're doing that for Food Friday.
Awesome.
And then Mark Van Buren will be here doing top 10 Shirley MacLaine movies. Then Brian Watson will be here. Absolutely. Can you name one Shirley MacLaine movie?
What's the one with her and Jack Nicholson?
That's not bad.
That's a good one, right?
All right. That's not bad. The Shining Part 2, Jim.
Right. That's one.
And then, in a big surprise, our old weather intern's going to be back. No, I'm just kidding. I just made that up. So, what was his name again?
Oh, we went to Creighton. Hey, I learned a lot from that guy. I enjoyed that guy.
I learned a lot.
I did. High pressure.
He was so annoying.
Monsoons.
Yeah, Higgins is like, hey, Chris, you've heard of Millibars? They're hot. Like, what is this, the Mike Shaw Show? 6:16 in the morning. I don't know if this guy's name is really Rusty.
Okay.
But it's called Acres Bumpin'. Is the name of the playlist.
So it's a gal, your picture is a gal by her pickup truck, and looks like she's wearing what's that jewelry she's wearing around her foot or ankle there?
It's
is
girl,
that jewelry?
She's got the police monitoring ankle bracelet on the picture.
She's a winner.
But she's got the designer
police. And that's the playlist picture you sent me.
She's a winner.
She's got the designer police ankle monitor.
You could fix her. You can turn around.
You know, some girls say put a ring on that finger. Put a monitoring bracelet on that ankle.
So many friends that I'll fix her. I'll change her. Yeah.
Bill Beard, we're just missing the preacher button for this show today.
Oh, yeah.
So Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. 6:20 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice.
I like Rusty's sense of humor here. This is some good stuff.
Oh man, this has some amazing, like, in relation to the Pliskin Acres area of, which is really that kind of area again between Speedway and River. Now I used to say Swan. Now it's like Colbin,
the Camino Seco, whatever.
So the Acres Bumpin'. He's got Bus Rider right now by the Guess Who. Yep. We got Funky Junkie coming up. Skid Row by Merle Haggard.
Oh, I love Merle. Play a lot of Merle today.
30 Days in the Hole by Humble Pie. He's got it all today. So
Rusty's in the pocket, man. He's got a good sense of pocket. He's got a good sense of what's going on in the Acres.
So Mark Van Buren, who'll be on later doing movies with us, and I, we went with the town of Marana on a field trip. Joe Higgins is here, by the way.
Good morning, everybody.
And what happened was we were there to kind of learn some tourism development lessons from similar formerly agricultural communities or quasi-agricultural communities like Gilbert and Queen Creek. Now, Queen Creek's growing so fast.
Yeah, you know, my daughter lives up there. So, you know, it's a drive to qualify thing. So we went looking around new houses. It's a good hour from downtown Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
So you're literally driving to qualify. But when you drive that valley and spend some time around there, it just goes forever. Like, remember when you go to L.A. or you go to Disneyland? 4 or 5 hours out, you start hitting towns and houses. It's like this spread sprawl.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to watch Phoenix grow.
Well, they talk about how, you know, they have what's happening in Queen Creek, right, is the idea that they have a lot of space. They're doing bigger homes.
Right.
You know, on bigger
affordable
lots kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah.
And they're up to like 83,000 people in Queen Creek right now. And one of the things that's a driver for them is this thing called Horseshoe Park that just does equestrian events. Has like a $45 million impact. The guy was a great guy who was talking about it. 44 weeks a year he's booked with horse events.
Wow.
Right? So it's barrel riding, roping, cutting, horse jumping, rodeo. And
that's a lot of... horse crap.
Well, yeah, but he also said he actually said Marana, you guys are in the perfect. You have that one little rodeo ring that's pretty busy. He goes, you guys should really look at something like that because I have so many people from down there who are coming up here.
Sure,
kind of thing. So that was interesting.
And so it's embracing the agriculture life. It's embracing the. And so like city folk can go on to a spot and get the feel of what it's like to be in the country.
Correct.
Right? And I think there's a hearkening in our hearts to get back to that life,
right?
Where we have a community, we know each other, we're you know your neighbor, and you know, I'm going to raise your barn, and you're going to come over and get my chickens, and we're going to live a life.
Correct.
And I think post-COVID, there's so many people that are looking at that. I think I'm looking at it. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You're looking at that. I know that's something that's just, you just like it. You just want to get away from the crazy.
It's true. It's true. But one thing we learned through all of it, and this is why it's beautiful that you're here today.
Yes.
All right. Other than any time you're here is beautiful, but it's extra beautiful, is the theme that ran through all of these success stories, especially in Gilbert.
Yes.
Is having elected officials right, who lay the groundwork for good things to happen, roads, parks, public safety, kept on coming up all the time.
Zoning.
Right? And letting the entrepreneur rip in a moral good way. Right? Let's literally that idea of getting out of the way of the business owner kept on coming up all the time. Right? And the government doing like smart things, like with their downtown, when they let them, when they were building some of these retail restaurant spots that have multiple locations, they were doing things on how they were letting, like even like the electric transformer be outside of the footprint of the business.
I can imagine parking calculations.
Right.
All the stupid stuff.
Right.
That because it's in a code, you're blocked from doing it in this town or many of these regions, where if you have a vision and say, let's do something creative, let's do something unique,
so
that's what you get.
Here's the other thing that you could tell a couple of their bureaucrats. So the other thing, their bureaucrats are good, but it's the idea you have to have good elected officials to balance out the bureaucrats,
of course,
right?
Of course. A vision.
Right.
And Marana has it, dude.
No, that's why this was so, the synergies were perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. But one of the things that the Gilbert Town Council has stuck to their guns with their downtown is, and they have parking structures to go to these restaurants and bars and things, right? They don't want to ever have you pay for parking. Right?
Great.
None of this whip your credit card out for a $2 charge crap.
Right.
They don't want to do that.
Right.
They want to keep it as free as possible because, you know, and the bureaucrats like, well, we probably should charge. And if I'm like one of the council people, like, no.
Yeah.
We're killing it down here.
Right. Right. Look at your sales tax revenue. Look at your bed tax revenue. Look at your other things, property tax revenues.
So we're hanging out with Joe Johnston, who started Joe's Barbecue. His family's been there. They had the Liberty Market downtown. And then we met him at the Joe's Farmland Grill at this Agritopia thing, which is this amazing agricultural mixed-use environment thing, right? And he said, man, he goes, I started with the house that I grew up in. We turned into Joe's Farmland Grill. We have this, we built the farm next to it because then, you know, they're taking stuff from the garden and using it in the restaurant and different things like that. He has a mixed use with retail on the bottom, apartments up top, right? And what happened was he said it too like 9 times in his presentation. I could have never got this done without a really good elected officials who understand, like, hey, I have this plan, I have this idea.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He also talked about on the housing side of it are these amazing farm ranch houses with everyone's got the front porch in the front, closer to the street, tree, 90% canopy of trees over the front yards in the street. And, you know, like everyone's sitting there drinking their country time going, howdy, neighbor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but post-COVID, there's a hunger for that. Let's reconnect with our community. You tell me the story about your neighborhood with a gal that knows how to time the garage door.
She killed the sensors so she can get in, on her garage door so it comes down as she's driving. It's like the Bat Cave, so no one sees that, you know,
she exists. But that's, and you know, we got our apps, we got our DoorDash, we got our, you know, it's like Wall-E. And that, you know, we're all sitting around getting stuff delivered to you. And do you think AI is going to make that better or worse? You know, entertainment out. We're missing human connection. Humans are tribal. We have to live in tribes. That's why community is so important through church, family, and school. You have to have that tribe. There's a hunger in our society.
So it plays into our Christian Schmidt guy where he said we should have, like, Marana is about more Maranas, he said. Don't get bigger than 50, 60,000 people. Yep. Have more small towns where government is closer, and you don't get into some of the mess that we see.
It's so true.
And Tucson, when they said, well, we're gonna not just triple down, we're going to 100 times on an urban downtown, that they missed the trend so hard.
Well, here we got columnists saying you got druggy homeless encampments that have hints of utopia. So that's where Tucson's at.
That's true. That's a stellar
continuum.
About the 100-acre woods over here. let's get Limberlost Liz
exact
on.
Exact words.
Limberlost Liz, welcome. You're on with Chris and Joe. What's up?
Good morning. I just wanted to go back to the point of the protesting. What I find funny in the news media and still hasn't been brought up is that Hamas started all of this, right?
Of course.
And Israel is only responding to the act. But people seem to have forgotten that. And now, you know, Israel is the bad guy. Hamas is the good guy. And it just really got twisted. And no one seems to be defending that point.
Well, in the end, right? So the people who are the Hamas supporters will say Israel started this decades ago, and you know, and that's to
we're,
me
we're biblical. We're way
I mean, yeah, I mean, so biblical. We talk about right. years ago. We could talk about you know this is two tribes beating the hell out of each other for for centuries.
But Liz, right. the bigger question is why the narrative is spun the way it's spun. Why is the propaganda machine doing what it's doing? I think that's the big question.
Don't have an answer. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get an answer to that.
Yeah, I don't have an answer either.
Yeah.
All I know is I wanted to buy a green tent to go camping this summer, and I can't find any green tents at the...
Call George Soros. He's got a bunch of them.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye, Liz. Take care. All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson, part of the Acres Bumpin' of Rusty, who's not even a real name for the person, but it's still good. Funky Junkie, Charlie Daniels. Here we go. Thank you. So as part of our 15th anniversary of the show, we're letting the listeners control the playlist. And this is from someone, I'll do the air quotes, name Rusty. And like Joe's nom de plume wasn't Carlos Danger. He was Rusty Trombone back in the old days. So
do so, not Google that. Please do not Google that. Not.
Oh, man.
So inappropriate.
6:34 in the morning.
Wow.
All right, Joe, introduce these young men on the other side of the table.
All right, so long old-time friend of mine, Ron Payette. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thank you.
And you know I used to bartend at the Cactus Moon, right?
I've never heard those stories.
Big part of my life for a number of years. And before dating apps, you used to go to the bar.
That's where you met your wife.
That's where I met my wife.
Right.
Ron was a dear friend
of
mine.
Hold on, you were thrown out of the St. Patrick's Day parade.
We set up a whole bar, and the Shriners were coming up to us, and we got thrown
nothing
out
worse than the Irish saying, too much alcohol.
Slow down, Higgins. We had to go in front of them and appeal our way back in.
It's like Will Chamberlain said, too many women. You know, I don't need that many women in my life. So sorry.
And anyway, Ron would I knew Ron before my wife. I mean, right when I started, Ron started coming in, and we just got to know each other. And I'd see him, Ron. Welcome. I mean, what's your recollection of bartending days? I mean, what?
I actually don't remember that place.
Well played. Right.
Never heard of the Cactus Moon.
Well played.
Yeah, that was a good one. You mixed me up with some other good one I had previously or something.
So we're close. I did a ride along with Ron, my first time down on the south side, and it was just fascinating. The day went like that. You go from cat in a tree to a dog to a accident to a backup on a drug bust. It was just so fascinating. That was awesome.
Is any of that true, Ron?
He had to wait in the car. He was trying to jump in and get a little more involved than he was allowed to.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I played football with John Fina. I could tackle that guy.
Yeah. Everybody thought he was an undercover guy.
I had a mullet, if that helped at all.
What's your background in law enforcement? How long were you in the serving?
33 years with Tucson Police Department. Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, still alive, still here.
So Ron runs into me at a event for Romans 12, a board that I serve on, which pastors. You remember me, we had this moment, and I go to a prayer group with Ron every other Thursday. And Ari is part of that group. And we all got talking about the life of first responders, what's going on with them emotionally and mental health and spiritually. And I thought it'd be a good story to kind of share with you guys. So Ari works with Boulder Creek a little bit. You've started...
Boulder Crest. Yes.
I'm going to get it right.
Boulder Creek sounds like a golf club in Denver.
It does. Right. Yeah, it's the Boulder Crest.
And we've talked about Boulder Crest, Chris, haven't we? Where it used to be PTSD from military. They bought a big ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Down in... What turnoff is
Sonoyta.
It?
It's in Sonoyta.
Yeah, is it what's the canyon? Madera? Is it?
No, it's the
other one, the next one.
I know, and I forgot what the road was.
Is this really a real thing?
It
this sounds like made up crap.
It's not made up.
And recently they've expanded.
Do you have a website or just an OnlyFans page? What do we got here?
No, there's a website, bouldercrest.org.
Beautiful, thank you.
And it's expanded from military to first responders.
That's correct.
And that's how you're plugged into it and working with it.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I retired from the Tucson Police Department after 21 years. I actually went through the program with Boulder Crest. They actually have several programs. And in 2017, they expanded to first responders. So,
and what obviously you got firsthand experience. So explain how you got certified or what the process looks like, how many guys go through. What are you seeing as a pattern?
Well, so I went through a program called the Struggle Well Experience. And it's really akin to their warrior path that was focused towards military. And essentially it's a 90-day program where you start off with 7 days or 6 days with struggle experience as kind of like an initiation residential where you stay there and then you kind of learn their program of post-traumatic growth. And the thing with post-traumatic growth is in, I'll call it the warrior community, whether it's the military or first responders, we do really, really well in operations and the things that we do every day. What we don't do well with is our home life. So post-traumatic growth really focuses on teaching us and educating us that good things can happen after bad things happen to us. And it gives us the practices to make us better and to make us thrive.
Because so, I'm supposing on your job, you're on, right? You are in. You are in charge of that scene or that really traumatic thing that's happening.
Correct.
To shut that off and decompress that and go home has got to be just a challenge.
Exactly. And that's where our struggle is. Yeah. And we were never really taught how to struggle well. And that's...
Which is guys in general. Probably sure. More amplified in the warrior class.
Absolutely.
Because men in general have that issue.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Except Chris. He's perfect.
Well, yeah.
And then Ron.
Not totally perfect. I was going to say with Ron, so, and both you guys, right? So we know being a police officer is tough, difficult, stressful work. But in the city of Tucson, especially with... when did you guys retire from the force? What year?
End of 2015 for me.
2015.
And I was 2015 also.
All right. So 2015 is you started seeing the city of Tucson. They were defunding the cops before it was cool. Right. When defunding the cops started being called 5 years later, I had a picture of Raheena Romero saying, "Hold my beer." Okay. Mm-hmm. So as the city gets more violent, more drugs, but you're cutting staffing at the city of Tucson, talk about the extra levels of how does the job even become more dangerous and stressful for an officer at Tucson Police Department?
I started in 1983 in the...
Where are those staffing levels right now?
The staffing levels are that or below.
Yeah.
And the city was much different back then.
Yeah.
As far as crime and the population, it was a completely different situation. But during that time, Ari and I worked together, and we had, occasionally you had officers that were either not struggling well or were committing suicide or having all kinds of other problems. And in the last few years, some of our closest friends, either they committed suicide, and it became more and more our own concern that we were losing these people that we cared about. And began going into different areas to try to reach them because the city has changed so much since we started. It's just a whole different place to live in.
So, Ron, the is this post being a cop or during being a cop or both?
That we were losing officers.
Yeah.
We were losing officers all along, but it wasn't as rapidly as it is now.
Yeah.
Ari and I have three dear friends that we've lost in the last roughly 2 years. Mm. And that kind of put it on the radar even more.
Now, I know your story a little bit, but you were a cop on the street, but also chaplain in many cases on the squads, right? So you stepped into that role early in this process for you.
Well, I was 33 years on the street, and then the last 4 years of my career, in addition to my street responsibilities, I was the chaplain representative there officially. It's through the union because they didn't want that labeled as the department chaplain.
Yeah,
so it was through the union, but you served the whole department.
Because then you'd have to be everything under the rainbow. It was department-based, right? Not Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was the role there.
Yeah, good. And the answer is spiritual or is partially spiritual, and then giving skills and techniques through programs like you do, Ari? Is that how do you solve this?
You know, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is save lives and save relationships and possibly save souls. But part of what I do is faith-based. But then what Ari does, and I went through the Boulder Crest program for retirees.
Okay.
And so not everything is faith-based if that doesn't fit what people are looking for. But we're just trying to save lives and preserve mental health.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
So what does this look like, right? Is the idea that, you know, the police officer goes through their work and they're living life. The stress keeps building up. But at the same time, does the family also have to be trained in relation to dealing with the officer and making their lives Isn't this both sides? I mean, this is life. You married a police officer, you know. Maybe you know you didn't know what you were getting into. Talk about the whole family unit as part of this.
Well, I think you bring up a good point because us as officers, we don't know how to thrive and live and struggle well. So our families don't either. So it has to start with us. And right now, Boulder Crest is working on programs focused on kind of bringing the families in also. So they understand what the program is. They understand what the practices that we have to start doing. Because it's all done in steps. The families are also educated what post-traumatic growth is. It has to be a two-pronged attack. But it has to start with us as officers, and I'll say, the Tucson Police Department has really spearheaded this drive as an agency, and there's other agencies that are following suit. So part of the program and the reason that I started working for Boulder Crest is because I have to give back, and that's part of our service.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ron said, we've lost some very close friends. I had one in particular that was very, very close to me, and it kind of gave me my mission and my why that I'm not going to bury another friend.
Yeah, and you've all lived a life of service, so it's
true.
Part of who you are. So
yeah,
absolutely. Think about my Colonel Wilkinson. You know, he was having some mental issues. His wife passed, and he came and started working in our schools because he had to give a why. He had to go back.
Yeah,
he had to give.
Then.
Can't just play golf all day, guys.
No.
Yeah.
Especially not that game.
Yeah.
In answer to your question, Chris, I believe it's next month, the first seminar offered through TPD for spouses of law enforcement officers. It's a marriage seminar that's for the officer and for their spouse is going to be occurring. So there's been lots of new ideas that have been happening. The chief of police, Chad Kazmaier, is completely on board with what's been happening. Originally, you know, way back in the day, there was kind of a stigma about getting help in such a traumatizing occupation, and that's changing now.
That was considered a sign of weakness?
Right.
Yeah.
And people were really reluctant and afraid that possibly they might get fired. They found unfit for duty, and so they didn't want to go and get help, or sometimes the help was just kind of within the walls of the station and people didn't want to be seen. But there's all kinds of different things with the Struggle Well program. The employee wellness unit has been increased. So the chief of police has been doing amazing things to reach officers in a number of areas.
So since I've been off the air, I don't know chiefs. I remember the other crazy ones we had. You worked with this guy. Tell me a little bit about his background and who our current chief is.
Yeah, it's Chad Kazmaier. He trained in my squad when he was a brand new rookie. And so he also had relationships with some of these officers, you know, through his career. And so they impacted him personally as well.
Good.
And he has become extremely committed. One of his main focuses is to minister to address the mental health of the officers. And, you know, historically, the trauma of the job would get you to a place where it's affecting others, kind of the ripple effect, or you're getting used up, so to speak. And they kind of throw you out.
Right.
It's like, you know, your expiration date's up, we can't use anymore, and now you're gone, and they kind of throw you into the garbage.
Right.
And so that whole thing is shifting now. It's like, how do we keep them in the game and meet their needs, not only for them, but their family and children, sure. and get them to the finish line?
Sure.
All right, let's hold on for a sec. Let's go visit some great sponsors. We're talking to Ron Pyatt and Ari Sloan. I'm on the bouldercrest.org right now if you want to find out more about that. And Joe Higgins is here. I know you guys know that. He's looking amazing right now.
Good morning. Good morning, Tucson.
His lumber sexual look today right now is...
Farmer Joe today.
Chef's kiss. Adrian is here for Food Friday. Korean bulgogi and kimchi today for breakfast this morning. God bless her. And then Mark Van Buren will be here. And then Brian Watson in the third hour. And then... our other sports intern before Ryan Larson. Remember that guy? We had another sports intern.
There's been so many. We've launched their careers, right, over the years.
All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, listener Rusty's Acres Bumpin'. playlist today. Again, for the newbies out there, Plissken Acres, named after Snake Plissken from the Escape from New York movies. And basically, it's the area of woe and crap between Craycroft and I-10, between Speedway and River Road. That was, we call that Plissken Acres. Eastside Tom came up with that name. Then remember downtown through the U of A and Sam Hughes Place at neighborhood with all the roof rats they're having over there. That's called the Circle of Self-Righteousness. Remember that, right? Then we have the area of the
professor class, right?
Right. Even though he's not there anymore, we have the area of the like kind of like up here, up a little north of us through the 29th, as Rahina calls it, the Thrive Zone of 29th. We call that Kazakhstan, right? And then that east side, which is falling apart, named after Paul Cunningham, we call that, this is the Matt Neely one, I believe, Pablo Slovakia is what we call that, just so you know. So the Acres, this is celebrating that special area of woe. They just ripped off our boy Marv Kirchler.
Oh, did they?
Some girl was ripping off dresses and all this other stuff.
You know, I rented with him for years in my trash business. I got picked clean over there. They take out gas out of my trucks.
And then our friend Joey Rogers with Dancing in the Street had to spend probably about $10,000 on wrought iron just to protect the front of a nonprofit dance place for kids with special needs because they kept on breaking windows, taking a dump on his front yard.
It's a shame.
All that other stuff, so... Somos nada, as we say at the city of Tucson.
That's a shame.
Now, question, we're hanging out with Ron Payette and Ari Sloan, and they're doing good work to help first responders cope with being in the life, being maybe retired from the life of a stressful job. So police officers post, you guys were there, post 9/11, yay, right? Here's your support, right? George Floyd happens, and now all you guys are scumbags.
Right.
And you're being called scumbags by regular folks, wannabe protesters,
elected officials,
media, all this other stuff. So let's talk about, especially here, right, in the city of Tucson. So now you're understaffed, right, and you're getting crapped on by a portion of society you never got crapped on. Let's talk about the stress of that for these men and women in uniform. What are you hearing?
Well, what happened was the introduction of the cell phone and then social media, where you could start recording everything, which initially wasn't a problem within itself, but then the provoking or harassing of police officers became a form of entertainment,
right?
And it just, either you want to go viral and get a bunch of attention, or you're looking for an opportunity to get some money out of the city, because government typically has deep pockets. So it's trying to get something to get a lawsuit going and a nuisance settlement. And this provoking, antagonistic attitude just took over. And then what you saw is officers that who were normally proactive, out working your neighborhoods trying to prevent stuff, were getting more and more concerned about how that could be, and taking a step back. The hostility from the certain members of the public and the media, they started withdrawing and just doing the basics, and so you're losing the whole proactive aspect.
How about the legal exposure to a cop? Does the city back you up, or how's that been for you? What's that look like?
Well, thankfully for us, we were covered by the city. Even lawsuits and complaints became a form of harassment against you, and those things, you know, stay around and on your record and stuff. And there wasn't a whole lot you could do about that, but you had to just kind of keep moving forward with it, and it just accepted that was going to be part of the hazard of the job.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can't imagine. So I work in the doctor world, and the old doctors went through medical records and they just hated the new medical world. The younger doctors, the new doctors, kind of found their space and they're more comfortable. So what are you seeing with new cops versus old cops? You know, I know a lot of your friends and our friends that have retired right away. As soon as they hit their 20 or 30 years, are out.
Right.
What is a new breed of cop coming in? Are they ready for this environment? Are they supported through this environment? What's that look like? You know, millennials and Gen Zs, and are they just different? Are they warriors like they were? Are they more? What's it look like for a new cop coming in?
Well, I think from our perspective, for Ron and I mean, there's, and I think you guys will agree, there has been a societal shift where we just don't connect anymore, and it's due to the digital age and the phone.
Yeah, sure.
When Ron and I worked together, there was connection, and we connected with our coworkers. We connected with our community. I remember starting when I started my career on the South Side, it was very normal for me to maybe take a small report somewhere at someone's house and sit and just talk to the family, like me, Ari, and the family.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, I was the cop, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know that that really exists that much anymore. But even from a coworker perspective, I think they're, it's shifting. Like I said, it's getting better, a heck of a lot better with the Tucson Police Department. But there's this whole loss of connection.
Yeah.
And that's
through the whole society.
Yeah.
And we just talked about that.
The old school way was much better of doing business. I'm not saying I approve of everything that happened, but you used to have a staffing level that could get the job done. And they, you know, administrations all around the nation come up with these fancy names of partnering with the community and geo-based. But if you don't have the staff, you know, it's like a best quarterback in the NFL taking the field, but he doesn't have any team.
So right. the city tries to throw out geo-based policing as a success, which basically what they're saying is if you put more police officers in a square mile, guess what happens? Crime goes down, right? But they would never apply that to an entire city, right?
Right.
They just want to say, oh, we've had this success, right?
Right.
Explain to me, this is something I've had in my brain. If you're way understaffed, and you're in the middle of a possible conflict with someone in an armed kind of dangerous situation, but you know, maybe in the old days when you guys called for backup, you knew backup was coming.
Right.
Where now you may not know if backup's really coming.
Right.
Talk about how it changes the encounter for the police officer and makes it really worse for everybody, knowing that backup's not coming, possibly.
Well, you realize that you have to be more on your A game all the time. The one thing that people often forget is that anytime you're in conflict, close conflict with somebody, you know, people ask, well, this person obviously wasn't armed. Well, that may be true. However, they have access to every single weapon on my belt. And if I've got close contact with them, they can be armed easily and they can take me out with simply one shot. So I've got to defend myself ferociously or aggressively, if you will, if I don't know I've got help coming. And you're right, whether it's going to a certain type of call where normally you used to take more than one officer to you or getting backup, that has changed. And so you've got to be able to take care of business on your own.
Right. If you knew six cops were coming, right you could say, I'm going to try to at least contain this until they show up.
Right.
Now you may not have that luxury anymore.
True. Yeah.
Things have really deteriorated as far as...
Hey, we're going to run out of time. How can the Wake Up Tucson listeners help you, good people, in what you're doing?
Well, I have to give the plug just for Boulder Crest. You know, support these nonprofits that support our community warriors.
Yeah. And buy a cup of lunch if he's behind you, or a cup of coffee, or just let them know you appreciate them. That's a big part of it.
That's a huge part of it.
Say thank you, we appreciate you, we're praying for you. All that stuff makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Guys, we'll do this again. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Joe, thanks for bringing these good people here today. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Adrian is coming up for Food Friday. You're on Wake Up Tucson.